If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
One, two, one, two.
One, two.
We are...
3, 4.
Recording. Well, look, he sounds a little bit low today, but...
I'm not very close to the mic.
Ah, there you go. That sounds a bit better. Hello, ladies.
Directional.
Yeah. One directional. They were rubbish, one directional. They were a tribute act to One Direction.
That would be quite a good name for a One Direction tribute act.
Yeah. I wonder what... Is there Two Directions? Is that quite a good one as well?
Yeah.
It's all right, isn't it?
It's very good.
Yeah, I like it.
Give me some of your best tribute act names.
Well, you just like hit me with that. I don't know. I mean, there
was... Well, you've been to see a lot. You've been to see the Fleetwood Mac one.
Yes, they were called Rumours.
Okay, no,
that's not great, is it? You want like...
Wait. What was the... Paul Weller...
But, oh, the Style Council.
Style Council.
Style Councillors. That was quite good.
Is there an ABBA one? Fabba?
Baba.
Fabba would be good.
You've hit me with a question there. I don't really know the answer, but Elbow tribute band could be called Knee or something like that. It'd be quite good, wouldn't it?
Look at your little...
You like
you
that?
Were really pleased with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was fucking on the cuff, on the hoof. Cuff,
on the
hoof.
Hoof.
It was on the hoof. But I think that's quite a good one.
Can I tell you, I don't know if anybody else that's menopausal can relate to this, but...
Uh-huh.
I get really, really happy when somebody gets a phrase or an expression a little bit wrong because I do it all the time. And it's such a really... We were talking today, I did a podcast today that won't be out until January with this friend of mine, Lou, and another friend of mine, Karen. And we were saying how funny it is when you get three menopausal women all talking in a group together because the flow of conversation is so fluid because every time somebody goes, I took the, and somebody goes, bus, train, car.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you go, car. And then you just carry on speaking. It's not like, oh, thanks. Or I can't think of the name. You don't say anything. It's just if there is a gap in the conversation, another menopausal woman will just start trying to fill it for you because she knows.
You do this to me quite a lot. It's quite an interesting observation.
Oh my God, I try and fill the gap.
Because fill the gap, yeah.
Yeah.
I find it quite, it's quite funny really, it's quite good.
Is funny another word for annoying?
No, because you often get it wrong. It's really interesting. I was waiting for, and you'll go, a train, a plane, a car, a thing. And I have a sandwich, and you're like, oh, sandwich. Oh. And I was thinking, what? So it's become like a game where I think, what phrase could I say that would spark a reaction from you? You know, my favourite colour is blue, red, purple, green, magenta.
Green, I know that.
Yeah, you do know that. But yeah, it's
really
funny that.
Me
yeah,
laugh.
Good. How are you? Well, first of all, let's explain to the people that it's 8 o'clock at night. It is Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Anybody listening to this after Monday can wish you a happy birthday.
Yes.
It's a birthday episode.
Yes. On Monday, if you're listening to this on Monday, it is my birthday today, on Monday.
Happy birthday.
The 16th. Thanks.
I'm not going to suggest that you display your age to anybody.
I'm 56.
I'm sorry. Is that a joke?
56 is quite an annoying age. It's not like half. It's like a sort of...
Yeah, late 50s they call it.
Fuck off. Do you know what, though? I was with Karen today, and she's 61, and she's, like, living her
looking
best
good, right?
life.
And,
so I just thought, actually, this is why everybody needs to be out amplifying, talking, speaking, because it gives everybody hope for later in life. I remember I was talking today about, you know, when I was 43, and I felt so old at 43. I just thought I was an old person. But now, as a 55-year-old, I look back at 43.
No, you think,
and I think, wow, 43
young.
Was so young.
And one day you'll look back on 55.
55
and
think, God, I was so young. Yeah.
And that's crazy,
actually, I do feel good at the moment.
Do you?
Mm.
Why? That was a joke.
God, honestly.
You look good at the moment. In fact, you've always looked good. But you've looked better. You've got better with age. You've got...
Thank
you're
you.
Really... You're very, very attractive. I don't know what's going on. But you...
I think it's because I'm happy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know if you've seen
it. A bit stressed this week, though. Yeah. God, are you?
I am a bit stressed this week. It's fucking busy. It's mad. I mean, well, we're recording this at 8:30 at night on a Wednesday after an already hectic 3 days' work.
Both of us have had a very busy 3 days' work. We've worked Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. You and I are both getting up, working in the morning and then going to work in the evening.
I've made a reel today. I'm making a reel today. I'm going to finish it with this. But whenever I see people and they go... I watch your reels. Jesus Christ, how much do you do in a day? And I'm like, you wait till you see today's reel.
Yeah.
So I quite like working hard, but mainly because I get to tell people I work hard. Something nice about it, I think.
Well, I'm holding out for a hero. No, I'm holding out for halftime.
Yeah, yeah.
Disney.
Yeah, we're going to Disneyland, aren't we?
I mean, we should do a podcast from Disney.
Yeah, maybe we should. We'll be there all week. Why don't we do that?
We could recommend things to people if they're going to go to Disney.
Yeah,
we could kind of talk about like what how to work the park, downloading the app, like what to do with that.
I think this is a really good idea.
Yeah, should we do that?
Yeah, I'd like
the
to
Disney
do
Pod.
One of it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
I mean, it'll largely be a conversation we're going to have anyway.
Exactly.
We might as well record it and let people listen to it. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Mm.
Okay, well, I've got lots of nice things to talk about this week. I haven't done a lot of prep because I've been so busy, but I know I've just got lots to talk about.
Well, I've got lots and lots of prep.
Have you?
Yeah.
First of all, I'm going to start with one thing in particular, though, which is that I've been working with Dawn French tonight.
I mean, just tell everybody, she is as utterly brilliant.
She's great. Yeah.
As we all know she is.
Yes, but there's also something else about her, like a funny... energy, like a spirituality about her that's very nice. Yes, like she's interested in the world and things, you know.
Yes,
so you can talk to her about stuff and it drops in, you know, and you go, oh, you know what I mean, and I don't even know what I mean.
Yes,
I'm just saying stuff because she's very kind of wise.
Worldly.
And interesting. Yeah. And interested.
So
sorry.
What were you talking about?
Well, like the Stoics, for instance. She said, do you still do the Daily Stoic? And I was like, yes, I still. And she said, yeah, so good all that, isn't it? And then we talked a little bit about Greek philosophy and all that, and I'd read a little book on Greek philosophy when we were in Crete recently, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forget, you know, that you are plugged into the fucking matrix and you're interested in people and things. And because she's a performer as well, there's something in the performance that you know is spiritual because you're connecting to thousands of people in one room on one night, centered around words and language and connection, you know. So you go, yeah, God, I forget, you know, like people who do that understand the power of connection, you know. So anyway, it's brilliant, but it's her birthday today. So.
It was her birthday today.
Yes. So happy birthday to Dawn French. And she was on The One Show publicising her new book, which actually drops tomorrow, which would be Thursday the 12th, I think. So it's Dawn French, The Twat Files. So we have a copy that she very kindly gave us. And this is out soon. Now, this is to coincide with her tour that she's on at the moment. And I'm sure you've seen lots of bumf about this because she's doing... The One Show tonight, I'm doing a hair for Graham Norton tomorrow, I'm doing a hair for this morning on Friday. So I'll read the blurb from the back, but when I was younger, I wanted to be an interesting, sophisticated, semi-heroic, multi-layered person, but the kind of perfect is impossible. That kind of perfect is impossible, but an actual twat is much more the real me. Sorry to boast, but I am the champion twat. The Twat Files, I will tell you about all the times that I've been a total and utter twat, the moments where I've misunderstood stuff and messed up. In my life, these have been key because mistakes tell us about ourselves. Mistakes tell us about others. Mistakes are hilarious. Mistakes expose our flaws. Mistakes show us ourselves honestly, and mistakes are gloriously human. My hope is that these stories might fire up your engines to remind you of just what a massive twat you also are. Let's celebrate and reveal in this most delightful of traits together. That would be perfectly twatty. And now it's interesting because tonight she'd said, when I was doing her, just how liberated she's felt by exposing all these stupid, twatty, daft mistakes that she's made.
Oh, and, it's so nice.
And we were saying that, isn't it funny that inside the shame is the freedom that you're desperate to get hold of. So if you can face up to it or expose the shame to everybody and everything, boom, you're free of it, you know. And it was like, oh,
and
God.
And also the identification that you get from other people and the relief that they also feel. You're not only freeing yourself, you're freeing everyone else.
Yeah. So anyway, it's called Dawn French, The Twat Files, A Life of Mistakes and No Regrets.
Now, Can I just play you something?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, have you seen Dawn talking gibberish to the camera?
Yeah.
So go to Dawn French's page if you're not already following her, please follow her. She has done a spate of just talking heads, but she's definitely saying something, but she's not actually saying anything. I'm going to play you one of them.
Right. It's a whole new kind of thing. There's, at the you go out that one, and you go left, and then you get to the top, and that's four, and then you go. Don't.
It's her face.
Not the where the bloke's got the twins. Will you get the pharmacist?
Can I say something quite funny? And I mean this in the nicest possible way, but that's exactly how my dad got.
Oh, really? With the Alzheimer's?
He couldn't articulate a sentence, but it really sounded like
he knew what he
knew what he was saying. Yeah, it was so. But these posts that Dawn does are brilliant. Mm. They are so funny.
The other thing also that to give a shout out about is that her and Jennifer have just got a new series of Titting About, I think it is, on they've got their own podcast. I think it's called Titting About. It could be Twatting About or Arsing Around or whatever it is. But they've got a new series, season four. It's out now, I think. So you can go to...
Do you want me to look it up?
Audible. They do it with on Amazon, and she got a new series of that. So I'd love to have a listen to that, actually, because I do love those two together. They're still brilliant.
They are so funny.
Not that they shouldn't be still brilliant, but we saw Jennifer, who was on The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
So we recorded an episode of The Masked Singer. Jennifer Saunders is a guest. You're not judges, are you? What are you called? Panelists.
Titting About.
I was right. Anyway, congratulations, Dawn, on the book, and hope everybody who wants it gets it and enjoys it.
I've got a couple of food-based recommendations now. So Holly, for her birthday, her boyfriend's parents are absolutely wonderful people. And it's very sweet, actually, because Paddy's dad and mum are really, really into food, and they understand that Holly is really, really into food. And they bought her a brilliant gift, which was the Mob cookery book.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you've heard of Mob, but they are actually mob.co.uk.
Okay.
It's an amazing website, and they are just absolute unbelievable foodies. But look at some of these recipes that are on here for absolutely free. Warm Greek beans with dill yogurt, flaky flatbreads, raspberry and elderflower mille feuille, blue cheese turnovers, steak with red Thai tomatoes.
Whoa.
There's a little kind of blog about the best restaurants in Cardiff. There's some dinner for dinner ideas. Mob's quick dinner ideas, which is super helpful. You can sign up to the Mob newsletter, but the recipes just go on and on and on. Now, they've got articles, they've got features, they've got city guides, Bristol, Birmingham, Glasgow. It is an absolutely brilliant culinary delight. So they've got meal plans, they've got discounts. You can sign up for, I'm not quite sure like what it is exactly that you sign up for, but I think you can sign up to kind of get extra special things and deals and all the other kind of articles and collections that they can do. And there's also a shop, so you can get a gift subscription. You can get all the books. There's Mob Kitchen, Speedy Mob. I love Speedy Mob. Comfort Mob, Fresh Mob, and Mob 6. So for any foodies out there, because I think I'm starting to do Christmas gift ideas, For any foodies out there, Mob is an amazing Christmas gift.
And how much is it, do you know?
So, you get early access to events, an incredible digital magazine, in-depth nutritional information, recipes to take your cooking to the next level, discounts from your favourite brands, all-exclusive access to the latest Mob features, and the ability to scale serving sizes to match your needs. So that's kind of like a little extra thing. And I do believe that his parents also bought Holly a subscription.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they're really lovely people. So, yes, there you go. Mob, brilliant cookery books and a little subscription to get lots of extras.
Fantastico. We've just eaten a pho. It's become one of our favourite things. Is it Vietnamese pho?
It's become one of our favourite things.
That's a proper pun.
I've been on the Masked Singer for too long.
Mm. Anyway, yes, I enjoy your puns. They're good.
Mm, thanks.
Let's move on. So my good friend, Jimmy Doherty or Doherty, what would you say?
I'd say Doherty.
Doherty. Jimmy Let's Doherty. Call him Jimmy Doherty. I say he's a good friend. I don't actually know how to pronounce his surname. So Jimmy Doherty is obviously a very good friend of Jamie Oliver's, and everyone sort of knows him from Jimmy and Jamie's Food Fight and then Jimmy's Farm and all that kind of stuff. I got to know him a few years ago through Dan Snow, and he's a lovely human being. But most people might know that Jimmy's Farm is also a wildlife park. And then you can get tickets and go there, and he's got all sorts of quite exotic animals. I didn't realise he had all these animals. I'm going to tell you which animals he's got on there.
I actually did see this on Instagram the other day.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So it says, come and visit our farm like no other. It has come such a long way since we first set eyes on the old dairy farm on the outskirts of Ipswich over 20 years ago. And I remember the very first Jimmy's Farm. I don't know if you did, where he bought the farm.
Yes.
Tried to turn it into a working farm.
It's so lovely.
Like Clarkson's Farm, I suppose, but slightly more serious. And it says, we are home to so many animals, from farmyard favourites to more exotics such as zebras and crocodiles. If you've got there, it's quite good, isn't it? Why not check out the Rare Breeds Farm? And it's new for the summer of 2023. But the thing that I was quite amazed about is he's about to open Europe's largest polar bear reserve the farm. Yeah, that's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it's amazing.
So the UK's largest Arctic wolf pack as well, and it opens up on October the 21st. So I thought it'd be a nice opportunity to let people know this, because polar bears, I mean, you've seen a polar bear in the wild, haven't you?
Yeah.
And
I've seen quite a lot.
One has been sedated.
One was sedated from a helicopter.
Yeah.
We flew over it.
Yeah.
It got sedated. Mm-hmm. We waited for it to fall down, mm-hmm. but it was still awake.
Yeah.
And we went and with a scientist and measured its teeth and its body and its fat content. And it was chipped, so we could kind of compare it to its measurements from before. It was very healthy and it was in a good state.
Sounds
but
amazing.
But I'm sitting next to the polar bear lying on the ice with the scientist, watching him take these measurements very close. And the polar bear is blinking.
Fuck.
It's
something else,
And then one morning, we went to Svalbard and we were on a boat that had been frozen into the bay.
Mm.
So the boat goes into the bay in November and it gets frozen in the bay as it ices over.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And it can't go anywhere until April.
Until it thaws,
so we went to stay on the boat in March or April.
Yeah.
And in the morning, there was like screaming, sort of 6 o'clock in the morning. It never, ever got dark.
Uh-huh.
So it was just light all night. And we went up onto the deck at 6 o'clock in the morning and everybody went, quick, quick, quick. And we looked over and two polar bears were running past the boat, but really close.
Just
going out to the water. And then another time we were in the middle of nowhere on our ski-doos. We looked in the distance and there was a mum and two baby cubs. Running across the horizon.
And a baby polar bear's
two
like...
Two little baby polar bears.
Mm.
But she would have literally ripped us to shreds.
To shreds, I bet.
And the other quite funny thing, we were staying in a little hut.
Mm.
And you know what I'm like.
Yeah.
I'm not good in really dirty
huts. You're not, are you? Yeah, you're
and
like...
it was so dirty. And we had to poo and pee outside in the ice, but with the, a kind of alarm parameter set up around the side of the hut so that we wouldn't get attacked by a bear, and we had to have our backs to the hut to make sure. But you probably would struggle to see a polar bear running towards you if you weren't fully awake.
Yeah.
And we had to take a gun with us when we went to wee. It was all very
serious, full basically. Yeah. Well, I was, I mean, I've never seen a polar bear. I don't think I might have seen one when I was younger at a zoo or something like that. So it'd be pretty amazing here. So some people might be asking, what are the conditions for this polar bear and stuff like that? So I'll just read you a bit of the blurb. So Jimmy, first of all, is one of the best known farmers, embarked on a mission to build Europe's largest polar bear reserve based on a multifunctional enclosure for rescued polar bears and other tundra species, including reindeer, Arctic wolves and Arctic foxes. Arctic foxes are amazing as well, aren't they?
They're the white ones, right?
So it says, the tundra habitat is an extension of the Suffolk-based Jimmy's Farm and Wildlife Park, a regional centre for excellence and for the conservation of British rare breeds and exotic species. The aim is to rescue, this is a rare, protected and endangered species, while promoting a wider understanding of the natural world and inspiring future generations to support and protect wildlife. So this is opening on the 21st of October, so in about a week's time, I think, from when this podcast goes out. They've saved two specific polar bears. They became immediate priority when they discovered that they were going to be put down. Aww. If a suitable home was not found for them. The lost lands of the tundra intertwines with the existing natural landscape and incorporates woodland and natural springs. And polar bears are classified as marine mammals. Did you know that? You probably did. And have three large pools in their new home. So these were polar bears that were going to be put down. So I'm not entirely sure what the long-term idea is with those polar bears in particular. But if you're interested to know...
It sounds like this might be their forever home.
Yeah, it could be, couldn't it? Yeah, I think they've come from an enclosure somewhere
else. Of course,
the
21st is the beginning, I would imagine, of most of the UK's half-term.
Yeah.
So it might be a nice time to go visit.
Yeah. So it's in Ipswich, which is over kind of Suffolk, Norfolk-y way, isn't it?
And that, east of England,
The boob of England, as I call it. And I think it would be bloody brilliant to go there. So if you're looking for something to do or somewhere to go, go to Jimmy's Farm and please let us know all about it as well when you go. And if we get the chance to go, I'd like to go.
I'd love to go.
Yeah. thanks, Jimmy.
What am I going to talk about next? Do you know what? I think I might just talk about something that might just help a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
It's a charity that I've discovered. And I think I've talked about them before, but I'm going to talk about them again because I think they are worth reminding people of. They're a cancer charity. They're called Maggie's. Maggie was a writer and a gardener and a designer. And their centres are built by extraordinary architects. Do you remember? I've talked about this before.
Yes, you have, yeah.
And they look after people with cancer, but also families of people with cancer. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not just the person with cancer that's going through the diagnosis. It's everybody that's affected. Mm. Children, partners, everybody. But they're also doing a campaign right now on women who are plunged into a medical menopause and lots of resources and support and help on how to deal with that. I spoke to somebody last weekend who'd been really helped by Maggie's, and Maggie's helped me set up an interview with her to find out what happened to her, how she dealt with it. And it was very interesting hearing her story because she was a breast cancer sufferer with breast cancer and was under the impression that she couldn't get any help for her horrific symptoms. But because it wasn't estrogen receptive, she was told by Maggie's that she could get referred maybe to a menopause specialist and that she should get referred. And they get oncologists and menopause specialists to all talk and come up with a holistic treatment for someone. And Alice was very brave talking to me and talked to me also about her multiple sclerosis. She's got a very complicated medical history. And she's so positive and brilliant to talk to, but Maggie's had helped her a lot. And I think, you know, either if you're interested, you might want to go and look into how you could get involved. You can get involved.
Volunteer or something like that.
Yeah, volunteering. You could fundraise.
It was good for my mum.
Was it?
Yeah. She plugged into the Maggie's network and it was very helpful, yeah.
Oh, that's really nice to know.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
You can donate online. You can have a look at where their centres are. They have many, many, many centres, and they've got them in Scotland. They've got them everywhere, everywhere. They've even got them abroad, Hong Kong and Tokyo.
And did you do a podcast or a live?
I did a live, which is on my Instagram page.
Okay.
Last Saturday with Alice talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just if you can support Maggie's, please do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Few TV things I would like to drift into now, ladies and gentlemen. What was my favourite bit? I love the telly. I don't quite know where to begin, but I'm going to begin with something we watched together. Episode 1 of The Beckhams.
Oh my God, it's so good.
It is good, isn't it?
It's so good. I think, was it Camilla Long who just wrote an absolutely scathing
Yes, Dawn
review.
Was saying that she'd read a couple of bad reviews about it. It seemed very
awful,
unfair.
Like, about how, you know, how can they walk around in a cardigan that costs this much money and how can they do this? Mm. But actually, I thought, and we've only watched the first episode,
yeah.
But I thought they came across much better than I imagined. And you did absolutely forget what an incredible talent David Beckham was. And in fact, he wasn't the huge Lothario. He didn't want to go
Not
out. He was quite isolated.
He's quite an insular person.
And an insular person. And they fell wildly in love.
Mm.
And the rest is history. But it's an incredible story. And also our era, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is our era. Mm. Yeah. So it was a very good insight. I mean, they did a good job. I don't feel like they're massively guarded. They seem to be very open about themselves.
And it felt real.
Act. Yeah, well, it didn't
so
feel
when,
like an
when
act,
Victoria was trying to say she was working class and David kept sticking his head out of a cupboard, that did not feel fake. And he was really harassing her because she was going, I was working class, we didn't have any money. He went, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
He said, what car did your dad drive you to school in? She's going, no, but David, no, what car? Mm. Like, and he wouldn't let it drop.
I thought the interviews with his mum and dad were very, very sweet.
Brilliant.
Very nice.
Absolutely brilliant.
Obviously super proud of him and what he did.
Mm.
I think it's a very different system now, but I love the fact that it was actually quite late on until he got picked up by Man United. He was in his teens, I think, by the time they picked him up. But it must be such a bizarre thing to just get scooped up at 14 or 15 and then he's got that picture.
He played for Man United at 17.
Yeah, and scored, I think. Yeah, I mean, it was just fucking unbelievable. So neither of us are particularly big football fans, so don't worry about if whether you like football or not. You don't have to like football to enjoy this. I think what is helpful is if you're over 40 and you have a good memory of the 90s, it's really good because there's so much to go at there.
As a massive football fan, I think Chester would enjoy it.
Oh, you don't have to support Man United, I think, to enjoy it, because he's such a unique player.
And watching him play is so lovely.
And there's dressing room footage, which is very hard for anybody to ever see because they really can't get hold of that stuff. And then also, I think just the kind of life of a footballer and his love for Victoria and how he would literally drive through the night to see her.
Oh, my God.
Drive back first thing in the morning to go to play football.
And we all remember feeling like that.
Oh, my God, yeah, it's so good. It's such a great feeling, you know.
So cute.
So, yeah, it was really, really good. So if you've not watched The Beckhams yet or you've held it off or you've not heard about it, then it's on Netflix. I think it's a limited series of 3 episodes at the moment, but I think there's going to be more dropped.
Oh, is it only 3 at the moment?
I think so. It's a limited series, they call it, so there's more to come. But I really enjoyed it. And Netflix have got a couple of really good things on there at the moment. Another one I'm going to talk about in just a minute. Aww. Oh, yeah, it's MD London's first birthday on the 13th in a couple of days' time, which is
Congratulations.
Been in business a year. I'm a businessman.
An amazing first year.
Thank you. It feels like I've always been doing this. When people say, oh, how long have you been doing it? I go, a year. I think, no, I've been doing it my whole fucking life. Like, it's been forever, it feels like. I don't mean that in a bad way, but it feels like this is all I've ever done.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only been a year.
But I guess all the tools that I have in my arsenal, as in my brain, I've been developing those tools for 35 years and using them. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels like I've been doing it forever because I'm using all the tools that I've been building, I guess. Anyway, fascinating. I've got another TV thing. Shall I crack that out? Or do you want to go? You got something?
Yeah, but you can do whatever you like. Do a double TV.
I'll do a double TV. Okay. The Murder of Jill Dando.
Yeah, you were telling me about that this morning.
Oh, my God. I'm loving this. This is so good. So this dovetails quite nicely into the Beckhams thing. Let me just bring it up on Netflix because I don't want to get the name of it wrong or anything like that. Sorry, I was just away from the mic there. So, Who Killed Jill Dando is the name of it. And it's a three-part series. And it says, more than a year after Dando's... Can we call her Jill, please, Netflix? More than a year after Jill Dando's death, police finally arrest a suspect, sparking a lengthy battle and a debate that continues to this day. So... She was killed in the April of 1999, shot dead on her doorstep, point blank range, in the head.
I mean, this was so unbelievably shocking, this crime, because she was the nicest person. She seemed like a genuinely soft and gentle but brilliant journalist. And nobody could figure out why, how this person seemed to get away with it. Broad daylight, shot, close range, like an assassination. And then this quite simple man who... didn't seem to anybody to have the wherewithal to murder somebody at point blank range.
Yeah.
Goes to prison for it. And we all can't help but think
Did he do it?
They got the wrong guy.
Well, they did get the wrong guy because he was released sometime after. So I've not finished the final episode. It's only a three-parter. They're about an hour long, roughly speaking, 45 minutes to an hour. April the 26th, 1999, single gunshot leaves Jill Dando's family and colleagues and fans in shock. Episode 2 is the kind of media attention and all the speculation that goes around it. And episode 3 is Barry George, really, and... he was arrested and convicted. And
I mean,
then
it's interesting.
Later,
I remember his name.
Oh, yeah. Barry Bulsari.
Yeah.
And then Barry George. Yeah. I mean, God, it's just fascinating. Anyone who was around in the 90s should watch this for all sorts of different reasons. One, because it's a compelling story that most of us will remember. I lived in London at the time. You probably did as well. You probably lived West London. Did you around then, Chiswick?
Yeah.
So it was just such a big, big thing here. Mm. The Evening Standard and everything was just plastered with it for a year. You know, none of us could work it out. And
it was quite scary because you think, how can a woman get shot in broad daylight in the afternoon on her own doorstep? And are any of us safe? The randomness of it.
It was so random.
So scary.
What's quite interesting about it is she lived on this street in Fulham, just off the Fulham Palace Road. But she was rarely there. She was mainly at her fiancé's house most of the time. But her agent rang her and said to her, I've sent you several faxes with work details on. Can you go to your house, take a look at the work, and let me know what you want to do? She didn't have any fax paper, so she left her boyfriend's house or work or wherever it was. She went to Ryman's and she buys some fax paper.
She must have been being followed. Paper.
And then she then goes to her house to look at the faxes to see what the work is and goes to her front door and gets shot in the head. So
she's been there.
Randomly going to her house.
But she must have been, that's why I think she must have been followed.
Well, this is one thing that everybody thinks. And they searched something like 200 CCTV cameras all around Fulham and they can plot her every movement, really, from going to Ryman's, getting in the car. They can clock her car. They obviously can clock everybody else's car. They look everywhere and they are 100% sure she is not being followed. So the only other explanation is somebody has sat in her little front garden area for hours, possibly days, waiting for her to randomly turn up. It's so weird. The only person who knew she would have been at her house is her agent. And obviously the police, he's a suspect, and they bring him in for questioning, you know. But, I mean, there's just no motive. Why would you kill your most successful client, you know? It's just so bloody weird. It's such a good story. It's so gripping and you're so bamboozled by it all. But wow.
Yeah.
It's great. My absolute heart goes out to her brother and her family, because they're interviewed in the documentary and they do a fantastic job of talking about her and representing her. It's really good. But the footage of her on telly and everything, you're going to love, because it was right at the time your career, I guess, was really starting to take off. So it's just really interesting watching bits of telly around that time, hairstyles, dresses.
I just remember being so super scared because
yeah,
I just thought, if it can happen to her, why can't it happen to all of us? Mm. It was just really frightening.
Mm. Anyway, it's called Who Killed Jill Dando? And it is on Netflix. And it's a really enjoyable thing. Can I just finish off by saying she seemed, to all intents and purposes, as a lovely,
lovely,
very pretty, very brilliant.
Very brilliant.
Human being.
Yeah.
And what a fucking disgrace.
Absolute
it is.
Waste of a life.
And my heart absolutely goes out to her family to this day.
This has made me think about Sean Williams. Every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock on Radio 4, she does a show and it's called Life Changing on BBC
Thing you sent
Radio
me?
4. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now, the first one that I sent you is a story by a man that said, I have to keep calm. I have to stay calm to stay alive. It is, I don't think I'm going to ruin it too much by telling you a little bit about the background. But this man, his boss says to him, come and have a coffee with me. I've got some good news for you. He says, great. Have a perfectly normal walk. They go to the cafe. The boss says, I'm going to go to the loo. He's saying everything that he remembers from that time. And then he's looking at a woman thinking she looks so nice. And then she suddenly is looking at him like horrified. That's his kind of strong memory. And he looks down and he thinks, why has somebody poured their drink over me? But actually it's blood. He's just bleeding everywhere down his front and he can't figure out what's going on. In 2 minutes, he gets stabbed 14 times. But his description of it is, and his throat gets slit. His description of it is so detailed.
Yeah.
And his boss, who must be, you know, has some kind of psychotic mania and has done something bad before and was then put on meds and then went out and became a boss and then stopped taking his meds and lost the plot again, had taken him to this cafe to go to the loo to come out to murder him. Stabbed 14 times, throat slit, lying in a pool of blood. Everybody, but the description of it's unbelievable. So don't listen to me. Everybody leaves the cafe.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're terrified. The guy walks out with a knife and just walks off.
Fuck.
Nobody stops him. And two people run to him.
Okay.
And he's going, he goes... And he realises he can still breathe.
Okay.
But he says, I've got two wounds on my back and you need to stop. You need to fill them now.
Yeah.
And one guy puts his hand under and he goes, down a bit, harder, harder, there. And he blocks his lung so his lung can reinflate. His lung reinflates. Then he goes to the other guy, I've got another one. He goes, I can't find it. He goes, yes, you can. And he goes, I found it. And he goes, a very, very firm hand and it's immediately... So he's got both lungs back.
Okay.
And he hears someone phoning the ambulance. Yeah. And he's thinking, right now I just have to conserve.
Yeah.
Do not worry.
Yeah.
And go completely zen.
Okay.
The three calmest people were the three people that were right there.
Wow.
One on each lung. And another guy holding on to something at the front. He was holding his own intestines inside his stomach.
Right.
And the woman is on the phone and she said he's conscious. And he went, I'm slipping in and out of consciousness, because he thought, this is an emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't fucking go down the conscious route.
Yeah.
And he just goes calm.
Yeah.
And he just starts breathing.
Wow.
And he just gets into the the ambulance. And the ambulance driver says, you can close your eyes now. And he says, I'm not closing my eyes.
Yeah.
I want to live.
Yeah.
If I close my eyes, I will go.
Yeah.
He said his thing for survival, he's got a little kid,
yeah,
a wife at home.
Yeah.
And he just got this overwhelming, and it's
urge
when
to
he
live.
Talks about it.
Yeah,
he was literally staging his own recovery.
Yeah, okay.
Telling everybody exactly what to do. He went crystal clear, yeah. Like as clear as day. He felt no pain.
Oh, okay.
No. It was like,
oh, this right, has happened to me. Okay.
I'm dying.
Your brain is helping you.
He got something like 8 litres of blood given to him. I mean, untold. Mm. His face is really disfigured. Mm-hmm. It was stabs everywhere.
Fuck.
And he says the hardest thing of all is being followed around shopping centres because people think he's a bad person because he's got facial scars.
Menacing. Yeah.
When actually he's the one that's been attacked and being followed by security guards around. A shopping centre is quite triggering, but he said, I am just glad to be alive.
Yeah.
And he's talked about...
Oh, I can't wait
he
to listen
talked
to this.
About wanting to, before he this happened to him, he just wanted more, bigger bikes.
Yeah, yeah,
better
more
things,
stuff.
More yeah. stuff for his daughter, yeah. blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Now they've moved, he's...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All he wants to do is spend time with his child.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
his life is, you know, arguably better for it.
Yeah.
And I started listening to another one, which was very traumatic.
CPR
I mean,
one.
No, this is okay. The second one was two savage dogs.
Okay.
Bloody hell. Oh. Chasing a horse-driven cart with a woman still on the horse-driven cart. And
fucking
it's leaping.
The horse is going
it's
mad.
Leaping over things and dragging the cart through things. Yeah. And the dogs don't stop.
Wow. Okay.
And she at one point she just takes her hands off and just goes, I give up.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna let this happen.
Let go.
And then she saw an opportunity. She suddenly was like, no, I'm gonna live. Re-steers the horses.
Oh wow.
And
okay.
they end
okay.
up stopping and then this Ooh. Farmer rescues her. It's like
oh,
it's amazing.
Okay, I can't but wait to listen to these.
This,
they sound great.
This is I mean, Sian Williams was a school mum and Chester and her son were very good friends.
Yeah.
And she went off and she became Dr. Sian Williams. Mm. And she's a journalist, obviously, but she's also a psychologist. And she works in the NHS.
Ah.
And she does sort of both jobs. Yeah. So this is part of the journalist, but it's also she's brilliant at it because there's a thing about psychoanalysts and the way they talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
She's not codependent. She's not like, oh, my God. You know, yeah. She's just... looking at it from an analyst point of view. So it's a brilliant...
Yes, I worked with her on National Treasures with Dan Snow.
Oh.
The History Man and the Hairdresser was within the show that she hosted.
Yes.
So we went out for dinner a few times and everything. I got on my
She's
house
She's a brilliant
fire.
Woman.
Yeah, she's great, yeah. Mm. Very good.
Oh, by the way, you can listen to that on BBC Sounds.
BBC Sounds. Or what's it called?
It's called Life Changing.
Great.
And it's on BBC Radio 4 on BBC Sounds.
Bloody great. Okay, should we do a few shout-outs?
I've just got to do one more thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, great.
There's one book that I quickly want to talk about, which is Recipes for a Better Menopause. Now, I've always been a bit funny about things that are specifically for menopause and, why? Why do we need food for menopause?
Yeah.
But actually, I know this doctor, and she's called Dr. Fed Amati.
Oh,
and
yeah, of course, yeah.
You know Fed, don't
yeah.
you? And she does clinical medicine research, nutrition and science communications. She does scientific writing, medical communications, public mental health research, women's health and infant nutrition. She knows her stuff. And there's a lot about science in here. There's a lot about, there's a bit from a doctor, Dr. Sam Brown, about HRT and diagnosing menopause, but there's also lots about scientific evidence, non-scientific evidence, what that is, why that is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just saying these foods are good for the menopause, but it's saying why, how it works, nutrition and the circadian rhythm. There's a lot of amazing info in here, and that nourishment is more than just food. There's a brilliant bit by Lavina, who I really like, about movement and menopause. So there's a lot in here that's not just... just food and recipes. There's a list of good foods that you should always be having, ones that you should regularly be having, the one that you should occasionally have, and the ones that you should rarely have.
That's
really good. So
well, go on, was it say what's under rarely?
Rarely, cakes, pastries, donuts, sugary drinks, ice cream, biscuits, processed meats, ultra processed foods and sweets.
Olivia got into the back of my car today and there was an empty cup that said Pepsi Max KFC on it. next to an empty box of Krispy Kreme donuts. I was like, don't look at that. I had a bad week last week. Yeah, it was brutal.
And then occasionally it says red meat, potato crisps, home-baked cakes and pastries, other wine, beer, white rice, white pasta.
What's that under?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. Yeah, I can do that occasionally, once a day.
But anyway, it's a great book. It's called Recipes for a Better Menopause by Dr. Federica Amati and Jane Baxter. And I've given it a little mention on the front.
Oh, have you got a quote?
Backed by science, this book has delicious ways of supporting our bodies when we really need it. Nice. But it's the science bit that I like. She's a really genuine, you know, everything is based in research.
I had a couple of shout-outs to do. One that came through to my own personal Instagram account this morning. Let me just see if I can find it. So this one was from somebody called Deb, and it's baby_bear.xx. Mm. Sounds a bit porny. I always think when someone put XX at the end, porny. I think it's pornography. sorry, Deb. Hi, Michael. Was listening to yours and Davina's podcast the other day and recently discovered it, and I am hooked. I love it. In one episode, Davina was making a cup of Yorkshire tea, and you said, if only they made Lancashire tea. Well, they do.
Stop it.
It's an Asda.
No.
So, first of all, let me say thanks, Deb, for pointing that out. I'm delighted about that.
We've got to go get some.
There's an Asda not far from here, so I'm going to go and get some. And we don't normally do this on the podcast, but I would like to do some kind of blind taste test with you.
Yes.
Because if you don't know the difference,
yes,
I'm going to swap out Yorkshire TV. We're into to Lancashire.
That's a great idea.
It's a good one, though, isn't it? Yeah, it's great.
That is really, really good.
So some shout outs of Victoria Bruce. I posted the Simon Pegg Desert Island Discs, and she said the Bob Mortimer one is gorgeous.
I love Bob Mortimer.
Me too. And I've watched Gone Fishing recently with Paul Whitehouse, and him and Bob Mortimer couldn't make it because he's been a bit poorly. So Lee Mack turned up for the day. So that was a very funny episode. I noticed it was trending on Twitter, and I thought, why is Lee Mack and Paul Whitehouse trending on Twitter? And then I realised it's an episode of Gone Fishing. So I watched that and I thought it was brilliant. But Bob Mortimer was sadly missed.
Is he okay?
He's brilliant. I think so, yeah. I think he just probably wasn't very well. I think he's had a heart attack at some point, Bob Mortimer, because I'm sure they talked about that in the very early bits. I don't know if you've never seen Gone Fishing, have you, with those two? So they're two, obviously, middle-aged men, slightly crumbling and falling apart, but they go fishing and just talk to each other about their lives and worries and hopes and fears and all sorts of stuff. So it's gathered a lot of traction. I know a lot of men watch it because of this whole thing about trying to get men to talk a bit more, listen to each other a little bit more. It's a representation of that, I think. But it's very sweet and obviously very funny because they're both very funny people. So thanks, Victoria, for that, sending that one.
Kaz Morse just says she's really pleased that you found the Ade Edmondson
Desert
Island Disc.
Even my dad sent it to me.
Did he?
Yeah.
What was quite sweet was I was sitting next to Jennifer Saunders on The Masked Singer, and I said that you'd listened to it and thought that it was absolutely amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
Lucy Starvis says, hi there, just listened to the whole series of The Tortoise Investigates on the Tavistock on your recommendation. So very interesting. I have learned so much. Thank you. Yeah, it was really detailed, that. It was bloody deep. There was a lot to learn in it as well. It was fantastic. Wendy Dodge, shall I read that one out?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Have you ever listened to Beth Nielsen Chapman's Sand and Water? What a song. Sorry if it gets you emotional, but it is beautiful. This line gets me every time. All alone, I heal this heart of sorrow. All alone, I raise this child, flesh and bone. He's just bursting towards tomorrow. And his laughter fills my world. And where's your smile? Whoa. It sounds
What's it called?
It's called Sand and Water by Beth Nielsen
Chapman. Right, I'm going to play you a bit.
Yeah, okay. Fucking hell. You sure?
Sat and cried. All alone, I had to find some meaning in the center of the pain I felt inside.
Ooh. Yeah.
She's amazing. I've never heard of Beth Nielsen. What a beautiful voice. Mm. Thank you very much for that recommendation. I am going to follow her.
Leslie Driver, this is one for you, really. It says, good to have you both back. So funny. You recommended Soul Bliss last week. I find high heels so uncomfortable, but I've just bought a pair of their platform heels in black velvet, and they are so comfy.
I'm telling you, I've been wearing those loafers all week. They are unbelievably comfy, and they're so trendy. Those, I know what she's talking about, the velvet.
You get the benefit of the heel, but all the comfort.
And the velvet platform shoe is so pretty.
So anyway, my recommendation this week is Love and Death, a short series on ITVX based on a true story, 7.5 on IMDb and worth a quick binge. Sounds great, Leslie. Thank you very much. So, hi, guys. Just wanted to thank you for the plug-in disco ball recommendation. We brought one on holiday to Jamaica with us.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
Total game changer.
That's so
good.
Good,
isn't it? Let me see what it says here. Total game changer. Had a fab disco before heading out for dinner last night. And then again, when we returned.
Oh, my God, they've sent a video.
Oh, we could hear people down below cheering us and saying, what a fabulous idea. Our four children all grown up and off to uni, loved our FaceTime.
Okay,
Wait, yeah, go on, let's have a look. Let's have a look.
Look at the bedroom. That's exactly what our room looks like every holiday we go on.
Literally every night, you know.
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
That was from Tammy Louise Naylor. Yeah, thanks, Tammy, it's brilliant.
And Andrea Groke said, hey, D&M, just wanted to tell you we watched Cocaine Bear last night that you recommended a while ago. The gory bits reminded me of a film called Sightseers.
I haven't seen that.
If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you'd love it. Well, Michael will, for sure. It's completely bonkers, but so good. Loving the podcast as always. So glad you're back.
Cocaine Bear, by the way, if you've not seen it, it's knockout. It's
knockout.
A cracking film. And if you watch it and you watch it for like the first 25 minutes and go, no, this is shit, keep watching it because it opens up and turns into one of the greatest films I've seen in ages. Good. Well, this was very nice. Thank you.
Yes.
I know we're both working very hard at the moment, but it's a very nice way for us to connect and chat to each other about life, love and the universe.
I really liked it too.
Yeah, good.
And I do feel like even our just little chats at the beginning are very nice.
I mean, I sometimes think, let's not recommend anything this week. Let's just talk to each other for a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'd be really nice. And I think that actually sometimes... it's a good way of ironing things out.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we ever have anything we need to iron out. But...
she's kind of sending me a signal there, isn't it? Like, there's something I need to iron
out. Like, there's something I need to talk to you about. There's so many things I haven't told you about as well this week.
No, me too.
I had more stuff.
I've got a lot of stuff as well. Anyway, we'll hold it back.
I've got to tell you, I've started doing it. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm sorry, you can't do this to people. Let's just tell them what this is.
Okay, it's just very quickly, brilliant Christmas present for anybody who is, I would say, over 45. Carol Vorderman's Perfect 10 Quiz Book. You go to bed with your quiz book and they ask you, right, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Is there a quick quiz
question? Entomology is the study of what?
Entomology is the study of... Is it the study of studies?
It's the study of insects.
Oh, God. Yes, entomology, of course.
I didn't know that.
An aphid. A peach aphids. I remember reading an article about them and entomologists.
Oh, my God.
Peach something aphids,
On a family tree, how many direct ancestors do you have if you total up your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents? I got this one right.
16? Go on.
30. It's 16, then 30.
Oh, is it? Okay, doubled again. Okay.
Adina Monsoon and Patsy Stone are main characters in which British TV show?
Say that again?
Adina Monsoon and Patsy.
Oh, Ad Fab.
Yeah.
Yay!
Which heroic outlaw supposedly stole from the rich and gave to the poor?
Robin Hood.
Gorgonzola cheese comes from which country?
Gorgonzola. I'd say something like Russia or Poland.
Italy.
Really? The Z was putting me on a curveball.
Okay, which city is this an anagram of?
Oh, God, this is good, yeah. So the word is lost rib.
Lost rib. I figured it out.
Have you?
Yeah.
I think there's too much pressure because I know
people are waiting. Say it again, lost rib.
Lost rib. Lost rib. Lost rib stroll. Oslo's shrub. Bird. Go on.
What did you just say?
Bird.
Bristol. Yes.
Oh, it's a city. I was thinking of the country. Okay. Bristol. Yay! I'm right up there with Carol Vorderman. She's from Bristol, I think.
And do you know what she's got?
She's
got Carol lateral thinking. And it's called, she goes, Carol lateral thinking. What's unique about the number 854-917-632?
All the digits in it,
six,
not
seven,
10.
8, 9, 1, 2. There's no zero.
And what's the answer?
Oh, it has the numbers 1 to 9 listed all in alphabetical order.
Ah. I nearly got it.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is so good. I love things that make me think, because I don't think like this. This is a very, very good book, a present for somebody, a stocking filler, an under the tree. In fact, you can just sit around and play it with friends. I love these kind of things. It's the kind of thing I would have next to my bed and it would make me want to fall asleep in about 10 minutes.
I also love the fact that it's Carol Vorderman's, as in Carol Vorderman is a perfect 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite funny, isn't it?
She's a perfect 10.
Well done, Carol Vorderman.
Well done, Carol.
Have a lovely weekend or week or evening or wherever
love
it is
you
that
you
listen to this, and we'll speak to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.